The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God. There are people in society today who claim to believe in God. Life moves so fast through our everyday lives that we barrel through the day working on all of our agendas. But brethren, do we take enough time to thank our Father in heaven for the blessings that He has given us? However, when tragedy does occur, it seems that God is the first one we always run to, praying daily, seeking for answers for the questions that we may ask, why did He allow this to happen? See, so many people wake up, they go to bed, without ever focusing on their actions or what God has done and is continuing to do in their life. But brethren, is our life always so busy where we are guilty of not giving enough time to God? As this world is experiencing a time of financial hardship because of selfishness, greed, and the pride of man, something that we need to examine in our life is, are we selfish in the Church of God? Are we greedy, wanting more of something that we may already have, or jealous because someone's got a little bit more of it than we do? Going through and studying people and their actions, observing them, most of them go through life without ever thinking about someone else, unless it involves something in them thinking that they're going to get something back in return. See, even people who claim to be religious can sometimes show actions that contradict what they claim to believe, that maybe they believe they live a godly life, but their actions do not resemble one. Brethren, once again, I ask the question, could we be guilty of this? A question we all need to ask ourselves today is, do you see God in everything you do? Do you see God in your thought process? Do you see God in the way you speak? Always blessing, praising, and uplifting others for the blessings that God may have given to each one of us. In the process of praising, are we, brethren, when we look at us, are we walking according to the Bible and not through our own self-justification? One of the biggest problems in society today, and it can be in the Church of God, is failure to see God in everything we do. See, God has given us His Holy Bible as our instruction book for life. It is profitable for us to learn how to have respect for both God and Jesus Christ. Because without instruction, we have no clear vision, we have no meaning, or no purpose in life. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he who keeps the law, happy is he." Brethren, start with me. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and picking up in verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." See, we can sum this verse up by saying, for man to be perfect in all good works, we must see God in everything we do. How then are we supposed to do this? Well, brethren, we need to submit to God. Turn with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, picking up in verse 7. It says, "Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourn and your joy to gloom. But as verse 10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." As we, brethren, as we humbly submit to God, we will learn how to fellowship and keep God's commandments, along with his statutes and his laws. And as we change the way we think and act, we will lose the selfish desires that have been instilled in us. And as we begin to live life, our life in a way that God wants us to live, we humbly will come before him in his presence with singing, blessing his name, praising him for the blessings that he has given us. See, another way, brethren, we can see God in everything we do is to become a living sacrifice. Becoming a living sacrifice to God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, we need to put on the entire armor of God, so that we can stand firmly against the wiles of the devil that he has this world convinced. Standing, having our loins girded about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, with our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Taking the shield of faith, where you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one and the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. See, we have to draw close to God, because if we are not willing to give 100%, we are not going to be able to see God the way He wants us to see Him. And we will not be able to go where God wants us to go. We're not going to be able to hear what God wants us to hear. Because, brethren, we are not willing to submit the way God wants us to submit. See, we need to wash ourselves clean and have the blood of Jesus Christ to remove the attitude where we can see what God wants us to do. See, God does not want a people who are puffed up. He wants somebody that He can work with. Someone that Christ can live in and do the job that God requires each one of us to do. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Picking up in verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, and through God pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled with God. See, when Christ walked this earth, He showed and explained the wonders of God to His disciples, being an ambassador for God. See, Christ living a righteous life became the perfect sacrifice for sin. And in His last hours before His capture, Christ prayed to God that He had finished the work that was given to Him to do. See, Christ did what the Father told Him to do, and He glorified God in everything that He had done, even to the very end of His life. Turn with me to John. John chapter 17. John chapter 17 and verse 1. It says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you, as you have given Him authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as you have given Him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. See, Christ's first love was to do what God requires. Is our attitude on God first? Or do we put emphasis on other things first? See, we are to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Remember when Christ was baptized by John in Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It says, when Jesus was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, And the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Have you ever thought about this? If God would say this about you, "This is my child," and you can put your name there, "in whom I am well pleased." Brethren, we are to walk in the path that Jesus Christ walked, giving glory to God and becoming like him in everything. See, Christ is our perfect example, showing us that it can be done. God is our master, and we using the knowledge that he gave us to complete fullness. See, God has blessed us in so many ways. He's blessed us by giving us his truth and the Holy Spirit that gives us the eyes to see and the ears to hear. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, picking up in verse 16, it said, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what he has sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who receives seed on the stony place, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no roots in himself, but endures only for a little while. For when tribulation and persecution arises, because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and he cares for this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But as verse 23 says, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some as 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. See, God has opened the doorway. He has opened up the doorway for us to learn his way, so he shares his truth to us. How we receive God's word depends upon us. What is the intention of our heart? Are we good soil? Are we allowing God's Spirit to live in us, staying close to God where we can grow and multiply in God's way of life? See, we can hear God's word and rejoice, but if we are not committed in our heart, we will fall away. See, there has been so many examples of God's servants who have gone astray. Some have repented, some have not. Looking back at the children of Israel and seeing their examples, let's turn there in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all the fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our example, to the intent that we should not lust after the evil things they also lusted, and do not become idolaters, or as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor murmur, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happen to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the age have come." See, we can understand what God is doing in his plan of salvation for mankind. See, through God's Holy Spirit, though, It takes God's Holy Spirit to be able to understand. And as we draw closer to God, the people that we have contact with will see God through our actions, because we are living by faith. See, there are many people believe that once you find God and you are baptized, there's nothing more you really need to do to be a Christian of faith. Simply, just believe Jesus and He's going to do everything for you. This is what is known as blind faith or do nothing faith. See, if we have true faith of God, and what is the true faith? Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We will be blessed by God for the confidence we show by following Christ's example, having the faith in God's word, living by every word of God, not picking, not choosing what we want to believe in. See, brethren, faith is a vital part of God's Holy Spirit. Remember Thomas, when he doubted what the disciples told him about Christ being resurrected from the dead. We can read this in John chapter 20. Turn with me, John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 24. It says, "But Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see his hands in the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord, my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" See, a true believer of God is going to have active, living faith that flows from within and shows the glory of God through action. Because the true believer knows. He knows faith without works is dead. It takes more than just believing. See, we do not need to see something if God says it is going to be. God's word is truth. Also in James 2, verse 18, a man may say, "You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." See, a true believer will live by every word of God. That is their main goal. That is our creed in life, to please God daily. Also in Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Are we, brethren, willing and truly seeking God daily in our life? The answer is going to be either yes or no. See, God desires his people to be on fire for his way of life, seeking him for answers and guidance. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 5. In the book of Psalms chapter 5, picking up in verse 8, it says, "Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsel. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions. For they have rebelled against you. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy, because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor will you surround him with as with a shield." See, if we're obeying God, God is going to follow through and give us the answers to survive in today's society. I didn't say God is going to give us what we want, but He will give us what we need. The path may not always be easy, though. Let's step back for a moment, and let's take a look at our life the way it was before we committed to God's way of life. See, we did not know it. But the way of life that we were living was against God. We were living by our own way of life, eating from both sides of the tree of knowledge, making our own decisions, and determining what is right and what is wrong for our own good. We were competitive in everything, wanting to win at all cost. See, competition is something that we are taught from the very beginning of our youth. Win at all cost. But what does it really get us? Maybe some bragging rights for only a few minutes. For the carnal mind is enmity against God, and those that are in flesh cannot please God. Romans 8, verses 7 and 8. Let's turn to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 17, in verse 9 and 10, it says, "The heart is deceitfully above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing." See, without God, we really have no sense of direction in our life. And if we claim that our life really wasn't as bad before we came to the knowledge of God, then we have deceived ourselves and robbing God from His glory. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Our human nature before we come into the knowledge of God, our nature was evil. We had an evil past, but yet it can always resurface again in the future. See, if we do not give 100% complete control to God in our life, that past can come back and get us. But we must put God first. We have to do a total surrender, which is an unconditional surrender. And God is the one that gets to make the terms of our agreement. Turn with me to Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you He made alive, where you were dead in trespass and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Once again, there would be no hope for us if it was not for God to intervene in our life, to give us His truth, to give us His word, to give us life. And God has chosen us to walk with Him. He shows us His entire plan and where we have a part of this plan. See, when we make God happy, we receive His blessings. But when we fall down and slip away from Him, God shows us our faults through trials. And like a loving father, He picks us up and He forgives us and puts us back on track. Brethren, what does this mean to you? See, being called by God is special in one sense, because we have been handpicked by God. We're chosen, His people. And God is working with us to help us to prepare to rule with Christ when He returns. 1 Peter chapter 2, picking up in verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a particular people, that you would show forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past you were not a people, but are a people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." And God has given us a lot of mercy. See, God's Spirit has transformed us from darkness into light, from children of disobedience who lived in sin, to a holy nation, that we can praise God, that we can glorify Him, and live a righteous life. See, what are some of the blessings that God has given his people. Well, we can turn to Galatians 5. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. See, some people can look at this scripture and claim that this is fruit that we're supposed to have in our life, that God's people are supposed to have. It's the way we should respect others. But brethren, when you think about it, if we have these qualities in our life, which one would you want to throw away if somebody was counseling you or talking to you? I don't think we'd want any of them thrown away. See, the more we study and learn about God, the more our life is going to bear fruit and show the mature nature of God and God's Spirit being poured out on His people. See, we are being transformed, having and showing that our fruit is in full bloom, where we're going to be complete and show all of these aspects. For we live by faith, which comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See, we must have faith in God and believe that God will strengthen His servants to achieve all the task that God has in store for all of His people. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. I'm picking up in verse 16. Galatians 2 verse 16, it says, knowing that a man is not justified by his works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, ourselves also are found sinner, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died, and to the law that I might live to God. As Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved and gave Himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. See, Paul understood that having Christ living in him meant submitting to God completely, regardless of the situation, through whatever struggles and trials that he might be facing. And we have that same opportunity. We have the same opportunity. All of our actions, all of our thoughts, our speech, it's going to reflect God, because we are seeing God in everything we do, even to the smallest matters. For we are justified by faith, and by faith others will see our works. See, if we have examined ourselves to where we can say we have submitted wholeheartedly to God and we walk in faith, we have done well. But one thing that is sometimes overlooked because of our passion we have for God is how we apply humility. How do others see us? Are we humble or are we proud? Proverbs 15:33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. See, as we submit to God, walking in faith, we must have a humble heart. Turn with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 6. But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. See, before we can see God in everything we do, we must have a humble heart, knowing that as we follow God and His commandments, God will give us wisdom through humility. Let's turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm picking up in verse 25 and 26. It says, therefore, putting away lying, each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. See, when we react with people or find ourselves in debates, whether it's our actions or our speech, we must show humility in our character. Because if we get angry and let the anger rule over us, no matter how correct we may be, trying to give advice or giving the right advice, for whatever circumstances, the attitude is wrong, we're both guilty. The attitude will be wrong because our focus is not on pleasing God, but it's on the selfishness of our pride, showing arrogance of our foolishness. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 19. It says, better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart will be called prudent, and sweetness of the lips increase learning. See, when we humble ourselves in the sight of God, God will lift us up. And as we please God through our actions, for having that humble heart, we are blessed. For man's nature is to be selfish and to be full of pride. But when we come in the presence of God, we need to remember that we serve God first in everything we do. Even when we serve one another here in the Church of God, where do we put our focus? Is it on God or is it on ourselves? Is it on us wanting everyone to see what we're doing, seeking the praise of men in our life, or are we seeking the praise of God? In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, take heed that you not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory for men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. See, if we're always seeking the praise of men over the praise of God, we limit ourselves, brethren, on what God can do with us, because our focus is in the wrong place. And when we truly understand where God is placing us and how he uses us to glorify him, we then begin to understand that without us submitting to God, having faith in his word, and serving him with a humble heart, we will never be able to seek our true potential. If we humble ourselves before God and allow Jesus Christ to live his life through us, we can accomplish all things through Christ who strengthens us. Brethren, our desire is to be like Christ. Let us remain faithful and put emphasis on God, that through our actions we will be able to see God in everything we do. And when our Lord does return, we can be assured to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.